السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله وحده، والصلاة والسلام على من لا نبي بعده، على من لا نبي بعده، ولا أمة بعد أمته، ولا كتاب بعد كتابه، ولا شريعة بعد شريعته. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. واستقم كما أمرت. صدق الله العظيم. My dear respected ulama, elders and brothers, we begin by praising Almighty Allah for the many favors Allah has bestowed upon us, including Allah Ta'ala making us from amongst the ummah of our beloved Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the darud and salam be upon the best of Allah Ta'ala's creation, our beloved Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Respected elders and brothers, we are aware that we are on the first Jumu'ah after the month of Ramadan. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us many other Ramadans to benefit from, to be able to come closer towards Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We are all also aware of the fact that in Ramadan, by and large within the Muslim Ummah, there was an effort made to come closer towards Almighty Allah through obedience to Allah's commands, to sawm, fasting, zakat, charity, zikr, tilawat, and by and large, remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Obviously, one of the aspects that many a times people do say, that we hope that the entire year could have been Ramadan. Now that sentiment in the way is good, that we long for the environment that is in Ramadan. The environment in which there was a by and large environment of tranquility, serenity, righteousness in all those Muslim homes or in the areas where Muslims reside in. That particular aspect is definitely worthwhile. But bear in mind, it was not the wisdom of Allah Ta'ala for Ramadan to be throughout the year. It is not the wisdom of Allah. Firstly, you and I would not have been able to manage it. And Allah Ta'ala therefore says, أَيَّامًا مَعْدُودَاتٍ. Allah, when He refers to the month of fasting, Allah says, I've given it to you for a specific period of time. I didn't give it to you forever. I didn't give it to you 11 or 12 months of the year. I gave it to you 1 month in the year, and that is in my wisdom that it should be so. It's not supposed to be more than that. And the benefit with regard to the month of Ramadan, in terms of its duration, and may we be sacrificed upon every aspect of the wisdom of Allah Ta'ala, is this, that the month of Ramadan and the month of fasting is not so short the way you have other faith groups having 2 or 3 days fasting in the whole year. So it's not so short that there is no sacrifice. It is not so short that you don't benefit from it. And neither is it so long that a person starts feeling that I can't cope with it. Neither is it so long that a person says, no, now I had enough of it. Allah has just kept the right duration, that neither is it so short, neither is it so long. Allah says, أَيَّامًا مَعْدُودَاتٍ. One other important aspect with regard to Ramadan and thereafter the post-Ramadan is to be able to draw from the benefits of Ramadan and then take it forward. Brothers, one important aspect that I'm going to emphasize and perhaps make this also the theme of today's talk is, just as it is important for us to be on the right path, it is equally important for us in the right path to be able to get the right priority and balance. Just let me repeat that again. Just as it is important for us to be on Sirat-e-Mustaqim, it is equally important for us to get the right balance and right priority in our life. For if a person does not get the right priority and balance in his life, then he would not be upon the right path. After understanding this, let me just sort of give you an example with regard to it. Talabul halali faridatum ba'dal farida is a hadith of our beloved Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The acquiring of halal rizq is a religious obligation. Now that is no doubt whatsoever. Acquiring of halal rizq is a religious obligation. But when is it a religious obligation? Ba'dal farida, after the primary religious obligation like salat, zakat has been fulfilled. Now if we, in fulfilling the obligation of earning a halal rizq, we sacrifice the aspect of our primary religious obligation like salat, although talabul halal is also a religious obligation, we will not be upon the right path. Why? We did not get the balance right. We did not get the balance right. And to get the balance and priority right is part of being right. Now after understanding this, our ulama have told us that there are two types of ibadat. And now part of understanding the balance and also understanding the link between our different religious practices. Our ulama tell us, Mufti Taqi Sahib has made mention, that there are two types of ibadat a person has. One is direct ibadat and one is indirect ibadat. You will say, what is the meaning of this? Let me explain. Direct ibadat is those type of ibadat which are ibadat from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as an objective in its own right. Allah says, Inna salata tanha anil fahsha'i wal munkar. Perform salat, make tilawat, because salat prevents you from lewdness, from immorality and evil. Wa aqimis salata li dhikri. Establish salat for my remembrance. This is now direct ibadat. Brothers, let me also say, in our terms, in our life today, we have not given importance to ibadat the way it is supposed to be given. For us it is by the way. Ibadat is the most candid and the most correct relationship between us and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We do not have any blood relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah does not owe us anything. Allah ta'ala was not compelled to grant us existence, grant us hidayat, grant us our needs. Allah was not compelled to do so. Allah did it through the means of His rahmat and His mercy. Now what is our relationship with Allah? How do you find a manifestation of our relationship with Allah? It is in ibadat that you will find the correct relationship between the creation and the creator. It is only in ibadat. And those people who sometimes tend to undermine ibadat must keep this very remarkable ayat at the back of their mind in Surah Muddathir. Allah will ask the people of Jahannam, Ma salakakum fi saqar? Why are you in Jahannam? Why are you in Jahannam? The first answer they will give with regard to why we were in Jahannam, Lam naku minal musallin, because we did not perform salat. Why were you in Jahannam? Why are you? Lam naku minal musallin. Now, this is direct ibadat. Then you have a different type of ibadat known as indirect ibadat. What is indirect ibadat? Mundane activities of life. Our routine matters of day-to-day life. In this routine matters of day-to-day life, which can become ibadat, not directly, indirectly with correct methodology and correct intention. If the intention is correct, if the methodology is correct, it can become an ibadat. It's not directly an ibadat. Now, example, earning a halal rizq. You can say that earning a halal rizq if I do it with the correct intention. Because Allah has told us to look after ourselves, look after our dependents. It's a religious obligation. And if I earn it in a halal way, that becomes an ibadat. But becomes an ibadat after correct intention and correct methodology. Now, however, this is very great because it extends the scope of ibadat to the rest of our life. So Allah has made it such that our entire life can become an ibadat. But when our entire life can become an ibadat, while it is very, very good, this indirect ibadat is also very, very sensitive. There is a fine line. What is that fine line? That fine line, my dear respected brothers and elders, is your going for halal risks because you are want to keep up with the Joneses? You want to earn a very good wealth to be able to have a luxurious way of life? Are you doing it to compete with other people who are in the same field in the business? Are you doing it because of having a comfortable way of life? Why are you doing it? Because this indirect ibadat, as important as it is, as great as it is, as it extends the scope of ibadat to the rest of our life, it is very, very sensitive. Now you come to the link between the two types of ibadat. And yet, it is so important for us to remember Allah in all our fields. You see the time of Shuaib alayhi salatu wasalam, Allah Ta'ala told them, be truthful and correct and righteous in your business dealings. Otherwise Allah's punishment will come because of dishonesty in business dealings. What did Shuaib alayhi salatu wasalam tribe say? Ya Shuaib asalatuka ta'muruka an natruka ma ya'budu aba'una aw an nafala fi amwalina ma nasha. Oh Shuaib, does your religion teaches us what we must do with our wealth? Our wealth, let us do with it what we want to do. Don't tell us what to do with our wealth. Brothers, just think about, maybe not so much directly, indirectly, sometimes is our attitude the same? When someone tells you, be careful with regard to where you spend your money, don't be extravagant, what do we say? My wealth, don't tell me about my wealth. I earned it. You are a trustee, you are not the owner of the wealth. Now anyway, coming back to the point, and just keep in mind the point, direct and indirect. Brothers, now our direct ibadah that we have done in Ramadan, it is supposed to help us to make our indirect ibadah's intention correct. What we have done in Ramadan, in terms of our zikr, tilawat, etc., it was not intended to be 11 months of the year. It was not intended to be throughout the year in that particular scope because we would not have managed. But what it is supposed to do is, you draw from your direct ibadat to be able to make your mundane activities of life into ibadat. Do you see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's commands are not haphazard. Allah's commands have a priority. It has a sense of balance. And it also has a link. So this is one of the link between the ibadat of Ramadan and then afterwards drawing from that into making our mundane activities of life into ibadat. And brothers, as these important ibadat is, which I have made mention of the significance, what is the percentage of our life in ibadat? What is our percentage of life in ibadat? 5%? 10%? At most. Out of our 24 hours a day, how much time are we spending in our tilawat zikr? 1, 2, 3 hours. That represents 5 or 10% of our life. Surely Sharia is not there only for 5-10% of our life. Allah has given us a deen in which the entire life of ours is ibadat. The entire life of ours is deen. And therefore, no one comes to see your ibadat between you and Allah. It is between you and Allah. Draw from the inspiration of Ramadan to be able to bring other matters of your life, your akhlaq, your conduct, your business dealings, your relationship, your muasharat, your social life, in conjunction with the command of Allah. Brothers, just as there is a link and relationship and getting the priority right, let me also make mention of another type of priority. We also type of another type of balance. As we emerge from the month of Ramadan, you and I, we sometimes have this dual type of situation. A situation of fear and hope. Fear in this sense that, Ya Allah, you gave us the month of Ramadan. And in that particular month of Ramadan, we had not been able to do sufficient to your greatness and sufficient to the value and blessedness of the month. And indeed, we have not been able to do so. But yet at the same time, while we fear that we have not been able to do that, we fear that we must not become the object of the curse of our beloved Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, who said Ameen to Hazrat Jibreel Alayhi Salatu Wasallam's curse, that may that person be destroyed who find the month of Ramadan and allows it to go by without having his sins forgiven. We have that fear. Yet at the same time, my dear respected brothers, I think we also are aware that even the little that was done in the month of Ramadan was done for the sake of Allah, we have hope. We are entitled to have hope in the mercy of Allah. Surely we are entitled to have hope in the mercy of Allah as much as we fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is now the next sense of balance that I would like to speak about. The way I spoke about the balance and priority between our direct and indirect ibadat. In this particular aspect of having fear, yet at the same time having hope in the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Brothers, one aspect that we can never as Muslims have is to regard ourselves safe from the punishment of Allah. Many a times people speak about the mercy of Allah, which is correct. We also know that Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam had said, it is written on the arsh of Allah, inna rahmati wa fi riwayatin rahmati ghalabat ghadabi. My rahmat and my mercy supersedes and it overwhelms, it overcomes, it is more than my anger and wrath. We believe in that. Because the saying of Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam, it is written on the arsh of Allah. But we are not like other faith groups who believe that there is only one dimension of Allah's attribute. They only believe Allah is only merciful. Someone died for your sins. So there is only an aspect of mercy. There is not an aspect of fearing the punishment of Allah. That particular type of faith group and religion can never find the right and correct balance with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's attribute. You and I, we know Allah is Ghafoor, but He's also Jabbar. Allah is Rahman and Rahim, but He's also Al-Muntaqim. The one who can extract retribution for the wrong that you have done. And this is something that we should never ever forget. Allah Ta'ala in Surah Waqih speaks about the qualities of the believer, and in terming and making mention of the qualities of the believer, Allah Ta'ala says, "Inna عَذَابَ رَبِّهِمْ غَيْرُ مَعْمُونَ." The believer never regards himself safe from the punishment of Allah. Never. So we end off Ramadan with fear. But yet at the same time, we also know that in the month of Ramadan, people came for Taraweeh. Our young children, despite the fact that fasting was not compulsory upon them, they kept fast. Despite the fact that old people, doctors told them, don't keep fast, they still kept fast. Many people came to listen to Taraweeh and Qiyamul Layl and I'tikaf. And yet at the same time, there was nothing compelling them to come. It was their love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that brought them. Reminds me of a remarkable incident, my dear respected brothers, that Mufti Taqi Usmani has made mention about his Sheikh, Dr. Abdullah Arafi rahmatullah alayh. After Dr. Abdullah Arafi rahmatullah alayh passed away, Mufti Taqi Usmani wrote some words of praise about his Sheikh, and he wrote one remarkable incident. He said, one day a person came to Dr. Abdullah Sahib rahmatullah alayh and said, our ibadat is useless. Our ibadat is useless. So Dr. Abdullah Sahib rahmatullah alayh said, yes, it is not worthy of presenting before Allah, but it is not useless. It is not useless. And he continued saying that it is useless. It is not, it is nothing. So Dr. Abdullah Sahib rahmatullah alayh, to try and tell him that while it is not worthy of the greatness of Allah, it is not useless. Dr. Abdullah Sahib rahmatullah alayh, to give him a shock treatment, to say, if your ibadat and your sijda is so useless, make sijda in front of me. If your ibadat is so useless, make sijda in front of me. And he got a shock of his life and he said, Maulana, what are you saying? I only make sijda in front of Allah. So Dr. Sahib said, if you only make sijda in front of Allah, does it not show the worth of your sijda? Does it not show that your sijda is worthwhile? It is valuable? If it was not valuable, then make sijda in front of me. Brothers, we keep these particular aspects of mind in terms of the remarkable barrier and the remarkable balance. As I'm saying, priority and balance is part of our deen. In terms of fearing Allah's punishment, having hope in the mercy of Allah. It is said about Imam Asma'i rahmatullah alayhi. Imam Asma'i rahmatullah alayhi, one day was in the haram. That time there was no lights in the haram. In the darkness of the haram, he heard someone rendering some heart, rendering ash'ar in front of the haram. May yujibul muttarra fi dhalami, And then he said, إِنْ كَانَ جُودَكَ لَا يَرْجُو ذُو صِفَهِنْ فَمَنْ يَجُودُ بِالْعَاسِينَ بِالْكَرَمِ. Oh Allah, if إِنْ كَانَ جُودَكَ لَا, if your generosity and your forgiveness, if your generosity and your forgiveness is not going to come upon the people who have done wrong, فَمَنْ يَجُودُ بِالْعَاسِينَ بِالْكَرَمِ, so who must the sinners and the transgressors of this ummah rely upon? So Imam Asma'i rahmatullahi was very taken aback by this ash'ar. So he went to go and see who was rendering this ash'ar. And when he went to go and see, he saw it was Zainul Abidin, the Ali bin Hussein, the son of Hussein radiallahu ta'ala, who rendering this heart-rendering ash'ar. Oh Allah, if your mercy is not going to come upon the gunagar and the sinners of this ummah, فَمَنْ يَجُودُ بِالْعَاسِينَ بِالْكَرَمِ, then who must the sinners of this ummah rely upon with regard to having their sins forgiven by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? This is how he made mention. Then Imam Asma'i told him, Zainul Abidin, you are the family of Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Why are you making mention of these type of ashar? And he said, Asma'i, I regarded you to be a great scholar. Don't you know that nothing a person through the means of his lineage cannot go forward except if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grants him his mercy and his rahmat? In Sahih Muslim, there is a hadith that our beloved Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had said, a person from the previous ummats made ibadat for 500 years, devoted ibadat for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In the day of Qiyamah, Allah will tell him, oh my banda, oh my bondsman, go out of my mercy, go into Jannat. Out of my mercy, go into Jannat. And he will say, Ya Allah, what about my 500 years of ibadat? What about my 500 years of ibadat? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will tell the malaika, bring him. Let him count his favors, his 500 years of ibadat and my favors. Let him count the two. And when the favors will be put on one scale and his ibadat will be put on one scale, it will be found that all his ibadat will not even be equivalent to one glass of water that Allah ta'ala granted him. And this is the reality. Was Allah ta'ala compelled to grant us water? Was Allah compelled to grant us existence? Was Allah compelled to grant us the tawfiq to do ibadat? So when this was made mention, and the favors of Allah was found to be more than his 500 years of ibadat, Allah will tell the angels, take him into Jahannam. And as he is dragged into Jahannam, he will say, oh Allah, grant me your mercy. So Allah will call him back and said, yes, now out of my mercy, go into Jannat. No one's ibadat is worthy of presenting before Allah. Maulana Thanvi Rahmatullahi used to say, go and make your ibadat as much as possible and try and do it in such a way that you do it in the best possible way. But don't be despondent if you cannot do your ibadat the way you want it to be done or equivalent to the greatness of Allah. Because even if you feel that I have today read my namaz and my salat in the best possible way, my concentration was there, my wuzu was there, my reading was correct, my sijda was correct, even then it is not worthy of presenting before Allah. Go and do what you can. So in the month of Ramadan, end of Ramadan, we conclude the month of Ramadan with these two remarkable aspects, fearing Allah, but also keeping in mind, having hope that inshallah Allah will accept and Allah ta'ala will make that the means of changing our life. Inna Allah la yudhi'u ajra al-muhsinin. Allah will never allow anyone's effort to go to waste, my dear respected brothers. We believe in this. It is made mention in the hadith that Abu Lahab, the one about whom Allah has cursed in the Holy Quran, tabbat yada abi lahab yu watab. Allah ta'ala, because when Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was born, when Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was born, Abu Lahab, out of happiness, had freed the slave that came and gave him the good news. It is said, every week on a Monday, because Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was born on a Monday, Abu Lahab, despite the fact that he is in Jahannam, Allah will give him a little bit of milk to drink, because of the happiness that he displayed in the birth of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Inna Allah la yudhi'u ajra al-muhsinin. Allah will never allow anyone's effort to go to waste. What we started off, part of our deen is to get the right balance. Part of our deen is to get the right priority. There is also an important aspect, and I will conclude with this, make mention of one more example. The example of huququllah and huququl ibad. As much as we have these two hukuks together, human being, when doing all of his hukuk, when doing all of his rights that are due upon him, he has to do it simultaneously. And he has to do it in such a way that he does not in any way, forsake or violate any of the rights that are due upon him. Keep this in mind. We should not do ibadat in such a way that we forget the rights of our family. We should not fulfill the rights of our family in such a way that we neglect the rights of Allah. We should not fulfill the rights of our wife in such a way that we neglect the rights of our parents. We should not fulfill the rights of our parents in such a way that we neglect the rights of our wives. Allah Ta'ala, when He has told us to fulfill all rights simultaneously, it means that it is within our capacity to be able to do so. Otherwise Allah would not have commanded us to do it. Those people who say, no, I can't get the right balance between my wife and my parents. No, you can get the right balance. Because if you could not have got the right balance, Allah would not have told you to fulfill both rights. لَا يُكَلِّفُ اللَّهُ نَفْسًا إِلَّا وُسْعَهَا. Allah never gives you a responsibility more than what you can bear. One day a person came to Mawlana Thanwi Rahmatullah Ali and said, well, Mawlana, I try but I can't get up for Fajr. I try but I can't get up. Mawlana took an oath. Mawlana was very careful with his words. He said, I take an oath, wallahi, you are speaking a lie. Because if you would not have been able to get up for Fajr, I take an oath, Allah would never have made it for us. Because Allah never gives anyone a command that is beyond him to continue. Now we have to get, after Ramadan, the rights of Allah, the rights of our fellow human being in such a way, none of the rights must be violated. In this regard, I heard Mawlana Tashamulak Thani Rahmatullah Ali, may Allah fill his qabr with noor, who used to give this most beautiful example. He used to say that you have two examples. You give the example of Fuzail ibn Ayaz and you get the example of our beloved Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He used to say when Fuzail ibn Ayaz rahmatullahi alayhi's son passed away. When Fuzail ibn Ayaz rahmatullahi alayhi's son passed away, he did not show much emotion. He told the people, go and bury my son. I got to go and teach the dars of hadith. He continued with his task of going to go and teach the hadith, going to do whatever he was supposed to do. And when he was supposed to do, finish, in the last moment he came for a little while for his son's janazah, and that was how he dealt with his son's janazah in the passing away of his son. Mawlana Tashamul Thani Rahmatullah Ali then used to give the example when Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's son Hazrat Ibrahim radiyallahu ta'ala passed away. He said when Ibrahim radiyallahu ta'ala passed away, Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was cradling him in his arms and was saying, Ya Ibrahim, inna li firaqika la mahzunun. O Ibrahim, we are saddened by your departure. إِنَّ الْعَيْنَ تَدْمَى وَالْقَلْبُ يَحْزُنْ. O Ibrahim, our heart is sad, our eyes is tearing, but with our tongue, we will not say anything which shows displeasure with the command of Allah. Allah's command, He took away my son. I will not say anything that shows displeasure with the command of Allah. Mawlana Tashamul Thani used to say, when you look at these two examples, we cannot even compare the deed of a ummati with the deed of the Nabi. We cannot do so. But just for the sake of understanding, when he should say, when you look at these two deeds, to you and I, sometimes you might say, what great tawakkul Fuzail ibn Ayaz rahmatullah alayhi had. What great reliance upon Almighty Allah. He should say that Fuzail ibn Ayaz rahmatullah alayhi's actions, comparative to our actions, is greater than our actions. But compared to the action of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it is flawed. He said, compared to the, when you compare it with Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's action, he said that action is flawed. He said the reason is, Fuzail ibn Ayaz rahmatullah alayhi, in fulfilling the rights of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, had gone so far in fulfilling the rights of Allah, that he had forgotten the right of his departed son. And he said that deed is most beloved to Allah. That deed is most perfect. That when you do that deed, you do it in such a way, you don't violate anyone's rights. You do it in the best possible way. You fulfill everyone's right. Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam fulfilled the rights of his departed son by showing emotions at the death of his son. But yet also he fulfilled the rights of Allah, saying, O Allah, with my tongue I will not sure say anything which shows even in the minutest way displeasure with your decision. Now do you understand, my dear respect of this, the balance between hukukullah and hukukul ibad, and the balance between our fulfilling all our rights that are due upon us. As I said in the beginning stages of our talk, just as it is important for us to be upon the right path, it is also equally important for us to get the right priority and the right balance between all the commands of Allah and the right balance and priority between all the obligations that we are supposed to fulfill. In these examples, I gave you the example of direct and indirect ibadat, the priority and the link. Then I gave you the example with regard to the aspect of talabul halal also being a religious obligation. But when? After salat. Getting the right balance and the right priority. Then I gave you the example with regard to hope in Allah's mercy and fear of Allah's punishment. Then I gave you an example with regard to hukukullah and hukukul ibad. And may Allah Ta'ala make it such that every aspect of our life is the right balance. After all, وَكَذَلِكَ جَعَلْنَاكُمْ أُمَّةً وَسَطًا. We have made you a justly balanced ummah. And part of this great balance is to get our priority and balance right in terms of all the commands of Allah, in terms of all the obligations that are due upon us. May Allah give you the tawfiq of understanding and making amal. وَآخِرُ دَعْوَانَ الْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ. I think it will not be fair for me to conclude without making a specific mention with regard to the situation in Egypt. Brothers, it is my humble request that each and every person in this gathering, either now, after Salat, not now, after Salat, or during the course of the day, read 2 rakats of Salat for our brethren in Egypt. May Allah Ta'ala make it easy for us. Make it easy for them. It is absolutely amazing when you look at history. There was a time when non-Muslims used to wish that they must be ruled by Islamic law. When the Muslims pulled out of hymns, the non-Muslims were seen to be crying. He said, why are you crying? He said, you only brought justice towards us. So when you are leaving now, we are crying. Today Muslims find it difficult because of propaganda or other, just the mere aspect of Sharia, that someone will bring some aspect of the Sharia. Today Muslims turning away with regard to that. May Allah make it easy. May Allah Ta'ala grant the people their peace, stability. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it easy for them. May Allah Ta'ala bring about the justice of Islam. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala take to task those people who are actually fueling the situation against the people. With what conscience do they sleep that over 500 people have just lost their life without any reason? May Allah Ta'ala make it easy for all of us. Let us make dua. And my humble request is, what we can do in terms of dua, at least during the course of the day, let us read 2 rakats of Salatul Hajat. May Allah Ta'ala make it easy for them. وَآخِرُ دَعْوَانَ أَنِ اللَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ.
Syntax CD Productions, bringing the sounds of Islam to you.